Good.
And make sure, yeah, you're all set.
Okay, call the work session in order, 6:00. Okay, you want to go first, Al?
Sure, so the first packet I gave you, this is in regards to fee in lieu of parklands. So the first two pages are the section of town law that authorizes towns to charge a fee in lieu of accepting parkland. The next pages are subdivision regulations that specifically states that the planning board determines that reservation of land of adequate size and suitable purpose cannot be practically located in a proposed subdivision. The board may condition its approval of the subdivision on payment of a town to the town of a fee set by the town board by resolution. So one of the requirements of the state law is that, you know, to do this, we have to identify what the needs are, and we have two plans that identify park needs. They include the 2002 Parks Master Plan and the Comprehensive Land Use Plan that was adopted in 2015. So that's the long and short of it. This truly is a at the planning board's discretion on charging a fee. With the local law number 6 in 2017 that was passed, we changed the fees to be set by town board resolution. Town board previously has set a resolution for fees in lieu of parkland at $500 for apartment unit, $500 per lot in a major subdivision, and $250 per lot in a minor subdivision. The long and short of it is, the planning board has a project in front of them right now with application for 182 apartment units. This is a developer that's worked in Radisson before, and in past instances, the planning board has always waived the fee in lieu of parklands because the PUD requirements of the town code require 50% of the property that's in the PUD zone to remain as open space. However, that does not necessarily say that open space is open to the public. So this project that's recently come in kind of puts the planning board in a different situation in that, you know, previous apartment projects in Radisson were on one parcel of land. So even if they did charge a fee, it would have been the fee for one single lot subdivision. With the new fee structure that we have 182 apartment units on one parcel. And I think the planning board is, I'll let Jack take it from here as far as where we should go.
I've never been accused of having a quiet voice. I figured from there I could handle it. I went back and talked to, well, the only person here, Karen Rice, who's been involved with the planning board for 30-some years, so she has some history on that. Talked to our attorney about the ramifications of the planning board changing a long-standing practice with regard to waiving fees in lieu of in PUDs only. That's all we're talking about is PUDs. And that has been the practice with every planning board in Lysander since the start of Radisson, 1972, 71, something like that. And the rationale the past planning boards have used and the current one has been using is under what Al just read to you. The planning board has the discretion to waive those fees in the PUDs and has chosen to do so because first they're required to set aside 50% of their land in open space, and that's part of the rationale for the fees in the law. And in the case of PUDs, they tend to provide their own amenities for the residents in their development. And the other aspect as we look at it is the fact is that these residents are taxed by the town and it's those tax dollars that help support parks and stuff. So that has been the rationale of the planning board up to now. And it's never been an issue because apartments were never on it, as Al pointed out. We had a discussion at our last planning board meeting, and I got the input from the other members of the planning board. And I would say, Al, you were there, so if I get off base on this, correct me. We discussed both sides of it, and the planning board members, to a person, can see both sides of the issue. The village of Baldwinsville imposes fees in lieu of on apartments in their PUDs. And I talked with Steve at the meeting, and the rationale that Baldwinsville uses for imposing it is that their PUDs, which are two apartment, the big new apartment complex over in the old mall and stuff, they provide no open space and they provide no amenities. So they're very comfortable imposing the fee. Steve even said, under our situation, he would have no problem with waiving the fees because the open space and amenities are provided.
The amenities already provided through Radisson because they're already built, correct? So they would be using the existing amenities, or are they going to be providing additional amenities?
They could use the existing amenities within the PUD. They're available to all members of the PUD.
Right.
That's correct.
So Jack, are you suggesting that this is an either or? You would charge and then they wouldn't be required to put the 50% of property?
No. That's up front before ever comes to us, because we don't approve PUDs. That's okay. That's another mechanism.
The 50% of land set aside, that's a
given. Yeah, for open space.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't really care whether who has access to it as long as it's preserved.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
So if we don't charge, we'd be giving up $91,000.
And there's other fees in it. It's pretty close to 90,000.
Right.
Yeah, there's another fee in it. But the reality of the situation is, one, the planning board would obviously have to provide a rationale for changing its policy for 45 years. And we're okay with that. We've talked legally, as long as we can give a rationale, the code allows us to do that. So we're not concerned about that.
Not to confuse matters, but just a relevant, I think, counterpoint. In a cluster development, you build on half your property and half the property is set aside as undeveloped, correct?
That's correct.
Are we charging cluster development people the fee?
We charge the lot.
So
yeah.
So if you've got 50 lots on 100 acres, or 50 lots on 25 acres, you're going to be charging 50 times the... So mm-hmm. Why would we leave the apartments out? What's so special about apartments then?
If the apartments were put into a cluster development like Cabbage Patch, we would have charged them.
Oh.
It's PUDs.
PUDs
is the only thing that we waive.
Historically. Yeah, historically is the only area that the planning board has waived the fee in.
Right, but I'm trying to see the...
Can you explain PUDs? I don't know.
It's a zoning classification. So the only PUDs, planned unit development, that we have in the town are the Radisson community and the Timberbanks communities. And what a PUD does is allows a developer to have varying uses, like you can have mixed use with commercial and residential, you can have higher density, but you can't ever have more units than what would fit on the overall parcel if it were developed at the parent zoning classification, which in both of those instances would have been AR40.
It's very
similar concept to cluster, right. Only you're allowed to put in different uses. Yeah, like right. In this instance, we don't allow apartments in an AR40 zone, but the general project plan that was approved for the Radisson PUD allows apartments in residential areas.
But to your point you made, Bob, perhaps to get everything on the table, if you negotiate... The town board negotiates a cluster and requires 50% of the land put aside. The planning board at that point would have the discretion to say, all right, open spaces have been provided for the residents of that site. We would have the option to waive it if we chose to. Yes, we would. That's the way the town code reads.
But it also doesn't, you can have 50% open spaces, but that open space might not be usable by the public.
No, by definition, it's usable.
Oh, by definition, it's usable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point because, yeah, you could have a swamp donated and that wouldn't be counted on the thought process of open space because the word usable is in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you could put a trail around that swamp and now it's usable.
Only the area around the swamp.
Only the walking trail.
Yeah, only the walking trail.
It wouldn't count.
The actual wetland itself doesn't count in that calculation by the definition of open space provided in the state law.
And as a practical matter, when was it, Al, in 17 that the fees were changed?
Yes, October of 17.
Yeah, and we have applied the 500 and the 250.
Consistently.
We've never had an application with apartments. And we're only talking about PUDs. And in under the Lysander Code, correct me if I'm wrong, Al, there's only two areas in the town of Lysander apartments can be built. That's in PUDs and a couple of R10 zones.
And those are only in R10, it's only duplexes, only two
families.
Only
duplexes. As a practical matter, Radisson is literally, would be almost literally built out. This
is the last parcel.
There will be no more apartments built
unless,
and given the current plan at Timberbanks, they've got their space.
They have some high density space left, which would be triplex and duplex, like townhouse units, like they're building over there now. But other than that, right now, currently, there aren't any other areas where they could put true apartment complexes.
Yeah, they built what, 10 units, I think, over there.
Yeah, so there's a piece of that land left that is designated for apartments. However, they used all the density where the existing buildings are. So there's no... units left that could be developed.
They're restricted by density code and by land.
Do you think that if we don't waive those fees, it's going to be a huge deterrent not to build that apartment complex here?
Oh, absolutely not.
So you don't think those waiving those fees is going to make a difference?
It's less than half a month's rent on each unit.
It's less than a third of a month's rent.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. So Jack, let's say there was no past. Let's say this was the first time you had to face this situation, and there was no pre-existing behaviors in any way. What would you do? If there was, you know what I mean? If there was no history at all, this was the first time you had to look at this project without ever having to,
In other words, Radisson didn't exist?
Radisson was just kicking off.
Right, if that's what I mean. If Radisson was just kicking off, this is the first time you had to deal with the situation in PUD, what would you do?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because obviously the planning board back in that period had that situation in front of them and they chose to waive the fees.
Right.
Because what they looked at was a master plan that laid out all the open space, all the amenities, everything that was going to be provided to the residents.
And correct me if I'm wrong, though, but that master plan had a lot more amenities and things like that that they were going to provide, a school and some other stuff. Right?
Right.
They never did.
I'm not counting the schools. I'm counting stuff that would act as a park.
But even then, it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought there was a lot more stuff that they said initially that they were going to provide, which they never did.
I know.
So kind of, they didn't really live up to their end of the bargain on the thing.
On the school stuff, and right. But the reality is, when we approve a project, just like when you approve a project, you can only approve it based on the information you have in front of you and what is presented as the
intent. Oh, no, I'm not criticizing. I'm not criticizing anybody.
But yeah,
I'm just
looking
saying,
back.
Back. Oh, we're going to do all of this, and now all of a sudden they didn't do it.
Well, they provide the kind of amenities we're talking about. Parks, trails, fishing ponds. I mean, they provide
sports fields.
Yeah, sports fields, all of that.
And I'm not looking back at what they did or the decisions they made. I'm asking you, Jack, what decision would you make
if we're today, 2009, okay.
2020, and what would you do?
If there was a project that came in here today for apartments, and I'm only speaking for myself, I can't speak for the other member, that was not in a PUD, was put on land, because by definition, the PUD already has that stuff, all right? I would vote to impose the fees because they're starting with no amenities. If they're not in a PUD, they don't have to provide 50% open space. Absolutely would.
And apartments can only be built in Lysander on PUDs, correct? In that?
And some R10.
So we just passed a resolution last time.
Unless the town code changes, we're basically built out on apartments. This fee idea, of course, you get right back to where you were, but if you had it 20 years ago.
Outside of precedent or history, to me it just seems that the most consistent thing to do would be to charge them like we charge everybody else.
Well.
Yeah, but they already paid for parks in Radisson with their HOA. They'll have HOA fees in these apartments, just like myself. They'll pay $90 on quarter.
Yeah, I guess that goes to the in lieu of park money is supposed to be for, but those people can use whatever the town provides with how it spends that money. They can come to the spray park, for example.
And they do, I'm sure. They pay town taxes, right. And that's how you get the money to support that.
You're not comfortable, even though you guys make this. You're looking for us. What's our sense? What's our feeling here? Because we can't.
Well, I originally asked Al to put this on the agenda because this obviously was a new situation because of that new fee, and I felt we ought to present to you. I'm not here asking you to change the law or anything.
Right.
I'm here providing the information about the history of the planning board, what its ability to do under the town code, how it's given that discretion, and what the history of that has been, and the rationale for that history. And I wanted that information in front of you. We will be proceeding with this application. I'm going to, at our February board meeting, I'm going to call for a public hearing in March on this project. That's another discretion I have on site control review, because this project and the solar farm, we're going to ask for a public hearing on, require a public hearing on that too. They're not required under our code for controlled site use, but at my discretion we can call one, and I think they're of sufficient scale and magnitude, and given their location, it would be good to give the public a chance to see the presentation, to understand exactly what's proposed, and planning board can get their input. In the end, the planning board, unless it makes some arbitrary decision, which we don't tend to do, not under this board, we will follow the code that the town boards have laid down and make sure that it meets every aspect of that. And if it does, then we will more likely approve it.
So one of the things we haven't talked about yet is, we have 182 apartments. We'll assume two people per apartment, maybe two and a half people for the apartment, but we'll say for round numbers, two people per apartment. So that's 364 new people. That is just like sewers or with any other infrastructure, that is an additional burden on our what we currently provide from a parks and recreation standpoint for the town. So that is something to be cognizant of when we think about this. We are talking about new people that are going to use town recreation facilities or have the ability to use town recreation facilities. And that's essentially what the Comprehensive Land Use Plan and the Parks Master Plan justifies or encourages the board to charge a fee rather than taking land, small little pockets of land all over the town.
And this is a money-making thing. It's not like we're charging individual homeowners. This is a contractor coming in, putting up apartments that's going to make money on the apartments. Then the people that are renting the apartments are going to make money on the apartments. So this is a business entity coming in that wants to do business in our town. It's not like a homeowner, like we're imposing new taxes on them. You know, I'm not in favor of doing that, but if people want to come in and do business in our town like any other business, then I think there should be, you know, there's always fees. Every community in the United States charges fees for business to come in and do business in their community. And, you know, I checked with, like, up where my daughter lives in Boston. You know, I mean, their fees are a lot more than ours. I mean, the cost of living is differently as well, but they charge fees. That's not anything that we're doing that nobody else does, you know, and they all charge these contractors that because everybody's making money along the way. We're not imposing a fee on some new homeowner because these people that are renting, they're only going to be able to rent it for what that what the market will bear, and whatever the market will bear, they'll rent it for. You know, so they're making money hand over fist. So I don't think it's, you know, personally, I don't think it's unreasonable for us to ask for the fees when they're doing business in the town.
I don't have a problem with that either. From a planning board standpoint, we have 40 some odd years of precedence of not charging them in PUDs. We charge them everywhere else. And we will have to be, I guess, comfortable with what is the rationale for now charging this developer, be the only person who was ever charged in Radisson PUD, and he happens to be the same developer who just built the big new apartment complex over on Centerpoint. 4 years ago he started it. It's done now. He's starting his second one. He was not charged one penny for that.
But like I said,
but I totally understand the thing. It's so, like, okay, why? What changed? What changed?
Well, there was no fee for apartments then.
Right. Just the fee came on the books. But since we now, when I say we, I'm talking about the planning board, and I'm talking about how many planning boards going back to 72. We never charged the fee to builders of homes either in there. And they were on the books. So, I mean, that's been the history. And I just wanted to, you know, get this before you because this is what we'll be moving forward. So the issue is here, we can charge the fee and we'll get $90,000 and that'll be the last apartment built in the town of Lysander possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as
that's the dilemma we're facing, and I want you to understand.
We're not breaching any legal issue here.
Everything.
We added a new fee schedule to our program.
Absolutely.
And you know what? It's your rotten luck developer that you came in after we did that.
And we passed that on a second, if I recall. So,
pardon?
And we passed that on a second. So,
yeah. No. But that's to the amount, not to the.
Not to my point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the actual fee for apartments was added in 2017.
So, Tony, you don't see any legal issues behind this?
No, because the justification, if you read Section 270, the justification for it, the planning board has to find before they force a fee to be paid, they have to find that there's not enough open space, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the first. If there is, there's no justification for them to charge a fee.
Okay.
And
but
I
in
think
this case,
that's what.
Not.
No, he didn't say that. It's not an either or thing. The 50% of open space gets protected regardless.
No. That's not what he's. That's not what Tony's saying. Yeah, that's not. Yes.
270 of the town law says that in order for the board to charge a fee, they first have to find that there's a need for that. A la, there's not enough space. Okay,
that's where we identified in the two master plans.
Okay.
The problem now, what Jack is saying, is that's already the existence. There is enough space. We know that. So that kind of takes away from their finding. That's why he's saying we'd have to be very careful in terms of justifying charging a fee, because theoretically, the space is already there. They shouldn't be charged a fee.
But does that rationale apply to everybody or just these? Just the
it applies to
everything.
Well, to the PUD because it's
the
there.
PUDs. And that's
just
all
the
we're
PUD.
Talking
about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the PUD because the space is already
there's,
there.
There's no issue that can arise in this area of assessing fees or not unless it's in a PUD.
Oh, okay. Right.
The rest of it's black and white.
No, I'd say go for it.
So is it an issue? That's what I
well,
want to know.
Huh?
Is it an issue? Like, will it be an issue? That's why I asked you, Tony.
Who knows?
If there is an issue,
there could be. I mean, I can't tell you what the developer's going to do. He
yeah.
may say, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, you guys, this, you're being arbitrary here. You're charging me a fee
sure,
that nobody can, else you've done it. Nobody
they can,
else.
They can do that."
Well Jack, didn't you say that there was a legal argument both sides, and that we would be sound if we did charge a fee? So
pardon?
Didn't you just say
no? What I said was that members expressed the fact that they could rationalize in their mind. Why you would charge the fee.
I need to be I want to be
when I talked to our attorney, Tim Fracassi,
yeah,
he basically, and I made the mistake of saying to an attorney, do you think there's any legal risk to this?
Right.
And, of course, the answer you're going to get every time is there's a legal risk to anything you do,
yeah.
Which was good. The bottom line is we have that risk, whether we impose it, don't impose it. We're under the code. We're given that option of waiving it. As Tony just pointed out, the conditions that allow us to waive it are in place. They've been in place. That's why the PUD has not been charged. So the planning board will take a vote on this and make a decision whether it's going to impose in this one time thing, or it's going to continue its practice of waiving in the PUD, and that will be on us. We have grounds to defend ourselves.
Either way,
especially if we waive it, and we probably do if we impose it.
Well, you guys are an independently elected board.
I
think that charging the fee makes sense, but I'd want to make sure that you feel comfortable legally.
Well,
with that decision,
I wanted to provide
the
information
to the
board. I know it's not your responsibility, nor can you under the town state law, you know, tell us what to do.
Right.
But we want to work with you and make you aware of sort of this conundrum we're dealing with right now.
Is this Frank Favreau?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one that built the other one. Did a nice job.
Yeah.
I just encourage you guys to follow
because what you never know is, Al, that those 300 and some odd people you come up with might already live in Lysander.
Yep, some of
they're
them are
just downsizing
well. Yep.
And moving. They're already using the facilities.
You got something?
Where is the distinction in this? That
question, how strong is our argument that Radisson has not provided the amenities that it originally proposed?
You know, that would be a question for Mr. Fateski. And to see where we're at. I mean, I don't think that they're going to move forward. Well, I'm not going to speak for you, but I would imagine, you know, we're going to fight something that is a loser. And I don't think that you spend $80,000 to get 91 either. So it's a pragmatic thing. But I, you know, personally speaking, you know, I said what I think personally. I mean, if it was an individual homeowner, you know, I don't think we should impose. You know, an additional tax on them. But when you're talking about builders, you know, using our town to, you know, make money, which is okay. You know, I'm not against any builders. I like builders, but, you know, there's fees associated with them. I think that's reasonable, and especially when you're going to be renting them. You're renting them out, and they're going to make more money on top of it. So. It's not the individual homeowner that's going to be renting those apartments that are going to pay for it, because they're going to get what the going rate is for it anyway. They're not going to say, "Oh, you know, we saved $91,000 on this, so we're going to cut your thing down by $100." I don't see that happening.
No.
What I'm saying is, if Radisson has not provided the amenities, it strengthens our case to collect the $90,000 and then perhaps guide, put it towards Radisson amenities.
I would think so.
Well,
and then we're not looking.
You would be right, Jim, if in fact Radisson had not provided the open space, had not built all the walkways, had not built the swimming pools, the tennis courts, the ball fields. They provided the type of amenities that go to the issue of parks. Radisson is one big park. If you spend time over there, I mean, you can do almost anything over there. Play golf, play tennis, go swimming, you know, anything. It's one big park.
Well, the sentiment was presented that they had not, and well, my gut is they had not.
Well, they didn't provide the school system they said they were going to, and there's some other things. But as far as the things that bear on this issue, they have provided.
And also the distinction, as you know, in 270, those aren't the amenities that 270 is talking about. 270, the amenities that 270 is talking about are the park stuff, not schools and stuff. And I agree with it. They didn't obviously didn't provide what they said. But to prove that in court as being justification would be very difficult because that's kind of subjective.
Sure. You know?
I don't believe this will ever get to any issue of a court.
For my benefit, can you show me where it's talked about planned unit developments in this law, because I don't see it.
It doesn't. It specifically does not say anything about planned unit developments. Our town code talks, this is the where it talks about fee in lieu of parklands and authorize the town to charge a fee.
Right.
Our town code defines, that front page is okay. The New York State town law.
Yeah, it's town law for this. But if you want to read the part about the PUDs that I gave it to Bob earlier, it's Article 16, 320-86, paragraph D. That's where.
Oh, that's
you
where
think?
It is.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah, you look at
I'll email it all to you.
Okay. I will.
Let me get my pen.
I will tell you right now. Don't ever get the idea I know the code that well. I have my code book, but when I study something, the numbers stick in.
I was going to say you actually have a copy of that. It is the third page. Or no, actually you're right. It's 320, yes.
It's
270 section is in there.
That's where it describes what a PUD is required to put in place, and that's where it ties to.
I'll email that section.
You better jump in, Tony.
Yeah, my only argument to some of that is that the pool, the tennis courts, the docks, and all that are not accessible to all, like the park is accessible to all. So the walking trails, the playgrounds, and the open green space is accessible
to all.
Yeah. So that's something to consider as well, that some things are accessible to everybody, and then only a member of Radisson can use certain things.
That's correct.
At that too. So
that's correct. But if you go back to the code, what the code ties that amenities to is not to the community,
to the PUD,
but to the unit where it's being developed. The PUD does not have to provide amenities for people outside of the PUD to meet the standard, the way the language is written.
So, Jack, was Tim's only advice that there's risk in everything, or I'd have to hope that.
No, what he basically said was that by the town establishing that fee, they have not changed the planning board's responsibility or position in this. It has always been at our discretion, whatever the fees are. We just have another fee that we are considering. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
You do it, you know?
Yep.
Do what you do.
We do what we do.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
I think solar energy is next, right?
Yep.
So, Chapter 320, Article 86.2, Item J1, bottom of that page. A reclamation bond in the amount to be determined by a local third-party demolition contractor of prevailing wage rates shall be filed with the town clerk to cover the cost of reclamation of any and all solar system installations components, whether above or below ground. So the last project that came in front of the planning board, this was a struggle to actually get a third party, because there's no work for the third party contractor to put staff on it to come up with an estimate. NYSERDA has come up with a guidance document about decommissioning of solar panels with a schedule of values for decommissioning. I would like the board to consider changing that language in 320.86.2.J1 to reflect the guidance that NYSERDA has put out for decommissioning and values. I think it's a, I mean, let's face it, NYSERDA is the expert on this stuff. I think it's just something that's prudent that'll save us a lot of grief in the long run. And that way we're not looking back on a contractor and saying, you told us, you know what I mean? We're relying on a state agency for guidance on this stuff.
That makes total sense. I mean, follow what NYSERDA is.
That's my thought. I wanted to bring it to you. We don't have to take any action on it. You can think about it. I will ask to put a resolution for a public hearing to amend the local law on the next agenda. This is not something that's pressing because the bond does not have to be posted until the applicant pulls a building permit.
Where's the proposed solar farm? Is that
on River Road, immediately across from the YMCA?
How long's that been in place?
It hasn't. It's an application from
the
planning
board. The application is before us now.
Okay.
And then
there you go again, planning.
Yeah.
When I found this decommissioning article is also when I found that other article that I handed you on battery energy storage systems. So that's something else, you know, provided everybody reviews that and is okay with it. I think that's something that we should have a public hearing on and get in place as well. We don't necessarily have to do that at the next meeting, but if everybody could give that a once over and give me thoughts so that we could get a local law drafted and ready to go. But that's something that I do think from a first responder standpoint, especially after talking to the chief from Belgium Cold Springs last week, that it would be warranted. So,
and we will require the solar farm if it goes in to Al is going to make sure whether they're going to use batteries.
Yeah, they right now it's
we'll take care of that.
And I think that's part of the things we're Jack and I are having a conference call with National Grid next week.
Yeah.
So National Grid, when they permit these, sometimes they don't permit them to put like this is a 4 megawatt, I believe, project. Sometimes National Grid will only have capacity to take 3 megawatts at once, so they'll put a battery
to store it,
and then during non-peak hours, push it back into the grid.
Yeah.
Problem with these batteries is they're huge racks of lithium ion batteries, so you got an explosion hazard, you've got environmental concerns, you know, if you have a fire you have a risk well, they're lithium ion, but you have risks, environmental risks, you have risk for the first responders. So these are the things that this model local law addresses, and it's just
that we currently don't have.
We currently don't have anything on the books for it. There's nothing on the books
for
it.
That's probably a good idea then, Tony, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Al and I have been talking about it.
Yeah, there's nothing on the books on this, but it's something that we should move to the front burner and move on. I've heard of at least 3 or 4 other potential applications that could be coming in front of the planning board in the next few months. Mm. So this is...
there's going to be more, so it's...
Yeah.
On solar?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be... There are going to be multiple projects that we'll see this spring.
And this has a good standard in it then, right? I mean, we're...
Yeah. This is a sample model. We can revise it as you see fit, but this is their sample model, local law, gives the background. It's, like I said, this isn't something that has to be acted on tomorrow, but I know of at least 3 or 4 other projects that the planning board will probably see between now and summer.
Well, we got that one going.
We got one going right now.
I had a second inquiry. But the last communication I saw, Al, between you and them was basically your code is too restrictive. We're pretty sure we can't do it here. So they might go away. But we've heard of a couple others. So to Tony's point, they're going to be coming.
Are you guys aware of the tax thing that we did with this solar?
Yes, I am.
That we, that the town opted to not provide them the tax benefit that the law gives them?
Yeah, negotiate a pilot. Yeah, yeah, right. We've said we don't want pilots for solar.
The school,
energy. I did, yeah.
The school solar will not give them any pilots. Right. So that,
I did know that.
In the initial one that we had here, I don't remember the name, but the initial one.
M.E. Mangano.
Yeah, they opted out because financially it didn't make any sense. Without the pilot benefits from the school, mm-hmm. it was a losing proposition.
Where did they go? You ever find
they
out?
Didn't.
They didn't go anywhere else?
No. But I don't know how many towns have approved the exemption or disapproved it. It's been around for 5 or 6 years, but nothing's really been happening with solar until recently. There's been a few here and there, but now it's coming to light.
Must be getting cheaper to do it.
I know there's a big state incentive, is my understanding.
Yeah, that's that
makes it cheaper.
Yeah. There's, and it's once the money's gone, the incentive's gone.
And that's the problem with the cleanup is once the money's gone, once the tax incentives are gone, they walk away. There's no reason to stay there. You know, right. they're not making any more money out of it. So,
well, and hats off to our planning board for recognizing that, because when you guys started looking into solar law, it was new.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were groundbreaking.
We put together a draft. Al helped
really
us with
did.
That. Other people put together a draft, and then you guys took it and worked with it further. But we thought we were covering everything. But like Al is saying, every time you turn around, there's something, well, wait a minute. We didn't know about this wrinkle. We better correct this. And,
even the decommissioning, there was no framework for decommissioning out there at the time that you guys put your heads together and said, wait a minute, what happens when these things...
Yep. And my suggestion would be, if you know, adapting the local law, as Al said, let's do the model one first, because we can always change it. If we go along and say we need to tweak this or that, mm-hmm. you can always do that later. But if we at least adopt this one, we've got something in place now. So
it and may not be... vetted to a certain extent.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Too,
yeah.
So. Yeah, because every application that's already in process is grandfathered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you need to...
The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Right, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not anything that we got to, you know. Like,
no, but it makes sense to get going. I mean, if we got the model,
I'll give everybody
a chance to read it.
If everybody's got a chance to read it, and I'll get a resolution to set a public hearing at the next meeting.
Okay.
That's all. I can guarantee you, just because the way events are going to work out, there's going to be no approval on any solar project for at least 3 months.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, it's not like we can just sit on it, so.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's all.
Before we get to the next work session item, because there's no agenda item for it, before it hits 7 o'clock, Bob, I was wondering if we could just ask a couple of questions on the agenda items.
Okay.
All right, so, and they're just simple questions.
Yeah.
Motion E, the update to the employee handbook. Where'd that come from?
You should have a. I've got a copy here. That's the law.
It's the law. Okay.
Yeah, they changed the law to
so
reflect.
We're just reflecting.
And I have.
I thought so. I just
yeah.
we're reflecting.
And I have them right here. If you want a copy of it,
can I just take a quick read of it?
Yep.
And the second question I have was J and K. That's in the budget, right? Those computers.
Yeah. We actually had $19,000 budget, so we're good. Well, so under.
Those were my only questions. Yeah, I figured that was part of it, because New York State just changed the law on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I have a couple questions. A is budgeted?
A?
Yep.
Yeah, he has a training line in his budget.
Okay.
Yep.
How about D, 12%? Is that a change? Is that the
that's
same?
That's what we voted on in the budget.
Okay. That's why. Well, that's why when it came up here.
Yep.
Okay, so that's.
I don't know why
change.
It's separate as a resolution, but I'm glad it's there.
So it's not changed anything, though.
No.
All right. You already covered E. How about? Thank you.
I can make you copies of these.
That's all right. That was good.
Okay.
How about G and H? Thank you.
G and H.
Yep. Organizational meeting typos.
No, actually,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, actually, they weren't typos, but they're going to change her G. They're going to change her title, and that $20 will reflect that later on. But right now, she's at 16.
Change the title to what?
I forget.
Tony
Gold. Yeah.
park.
Yeah, there was some way she works two different. She has two different titles, and
she is, she gets two hours a day or an hour and a half a day on park maintenance supervisor pay, and then the rest of the day she's at park.
But the way it was worded, this needed to be knocked down to 1662. I can't remember exactly what the conversation was, but we're not taking money away from her. But her per hour as the union contract is 1662, not 2072. And the way it read in the resolution, it looked like it was 2072.
Okay. And same kind of thing for H?
I don't know if I think H might, he might H? I think he might have got left off the organizational
agenda. Yeah, I can't.
Okay. Yeah, I think he might have got left off the organizational agenda.
He was on, I mean, he's here, and he's got two park labor. And he's got 1762/1662.
Oh, so
he is there.
He's at 1662, he's at not 1762.
That's correct. Yes.
It must be what it is. He's by union contract, he's getting 1662.
Right.
Okay.
I forget Tony left, so I forget what that 1762 was. But
okay.
When we discussed it, I said, you know, we got to change that because that's their rate, 1662, their laborers.
All right. And then the only other one I had was M, the $5,000 for office equipment. What kind of equipment are we talking about? And is it budgeted for?
It isn't budgeted for it, but there's, because when I came in, I didn't take the health insurance and the, and I'm not contributing to the, or I'm not participating in the retirement system. So there's a savings of $30,500. Now, going through the building, there's some things that need to be updated, you know. And the office equipment that I have in there, in that room, the table, two chairs, can go out here because there's no seating out there for people. People are sitting in there. There's a little kids' table out there, and people are sitting in there. Okay. So those can go out there. And also in that office, if you're to have three or four people in there and you try to spread papers out on it, that cafe table really isn't designed for
that. Office meaning your office?
Yes.
Okay.
The supervisor's office, right. So I thought that we could utilize that stuff out here and then replace the things in the supervisor's office with a bigger table to accommodate more people, and the two chairs that are already in there.
All right.
Now, it's not going to, I don't see it being $5,000. That was a number that's actually an arbitrary number just to make sure it's covered instead of coming back. But what I did before, when my previous position, I went out and I actually bought used stuff. If you can find, sometimes you can find brand new stuff that, or used stuff that looks like brand new. And that's what I did there. So I got about $8,000 worth of stuff for $2,000. But I don't know.
But overall, budget-wise, we're still $25,000 in the black, based on what you just said with the health insurance.
Yes, we're $30,500 to the good because I didn't participate in it. Now, there's other things that I'm gonna. Well, we're talking about it. Those rugs in there haven't been cleaned in 14 years, that we know of. Could have been longer than that. There's a lot of things that that get funky in rugs. We don't have a cleaning person for this building. If you go around and look, and that's what I was doing, you go around and look at the building, it's in pretty poor shape. So what I'm going to look to do is to get some bids to see what we could have, if we could have somebody come in and do a real clean on this building once a month, because it's just not professional. I mean, you look, there's cobwebs all over the place. There's the floors haven't been cleaned, and Brandy doesn't have the time to do that kind of stuff every day. So there, out of that $30,000, there's a couple of things in there that that need to be done that we're it's already been budgeted for, so we can move that over into this other line item.
Okay, I'm
air
comfortable
ducts
with that.
Is another one.
What's that?
Our air ducts have never been cleaned.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, the air ducts, the bathrooms, the there's some well, a couple. I didn't write them all down, but you know, deep cleaning.
Yeah, and we can discuss that another time. I'm comfortable though with what you said. That's good.
And the other one that I thought of was it's not on the agenda, but Raleigh sent us a note that we forgot to put $5,200 in the budget for the safety consultant. So I was wondering if we're going to discuss that at some point. Did you all get this? January 15th, when entering the budget into our
financial... I didn't get it either.
I'll read. It says, when entering the budget into our financial software, I discovered an error. This is David talking. That we put a new item in there, the safety consultant, and for the amount of $5,200. It's not in the budget. So if we want to... I don't think we should add it to the agenda tonight. You need to get comfortable with this, both of you. But basically what we decided was that the level of safety issues is, you know, just it's up here. We just we have nobody on staff that has the expertise to handle that. So we were all convinced that hiring an outside consultant was the way to go on this. If we're going to do it, we need to find $5,200 or find another way to do it.
Well, again, there's $30,500.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but when we
look at it, we can move some of that money around to cover. Because there were a few things that I didn't put on the agenda this time that will be on the next agenda, and we'll list them all down, and we'll be able to move some of that money for things that really needed to be addressed that weren't addressed, but because of that $30,500, we're able to do it within the budget that we already have.
So let me ask, are you getting emails? Both of you?
I did get that. Okay. We got his computer just squared away.
It went down. Okay.
They still haven't gotten it done. So the answer is kinda.
On his phone now, at least.
On the phone,
sitting out there someplace.
Well, my only suggestion would be just get comfortable, both of you, with this idea. We should discuss it at next meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're not going to hire a consultant tomorrow.
Right. No, that sounds like an interesting idea.
I thought it was
because when they were talking safety, I was thinking more like the deputy up there, but it's not. It's OSHA, it's PESH,
it's all that.
All of that stuff. Yeah. So that's a different animal altogether. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Good. Okay. So the only other item we had on the word wheel, there's two things I'd like to discuss. We got time quick in the last 10 minutes here. And when we were discussing,
if we miss something, we'll just do it in new business.
Yeah. I think we can get through these two things. Okay. So when we were discussing the agreement that was approved the last meeting in December about using the school district's new bus garage facility for fueling, the question was asked about insurance for our what it was costing us for insurance for our tanks. And lo and behold, what we found is we don't have any environmental liability insurance on our current underground fuel storage system. Dave helped us get a quote from our agent, came back at $1,711 a year to have that protection. My recommendation is strongly that we should have always had this, and we really need it now.
That tank is ultimately going to be
not on the. It is, but we should.
It's going to be removed. The tanks that we have.
That's up to the board to decide on what we want to do with fueling. But we spend a significant amount of money every year to have those tanks in the ground.
900, I think, right?
More than that. You got testing in there. You've got software problems. We have to update our software system and a monitoring system. The quote I got for that was $25,000 that we would need to spend. We've got this insurance cost annually, plus we've got testing costs annually that are mandated by the DEC. So we're spending a significant amount of money every year to have these tanks in the ground.
And that's if nothing goes wrong.
And that's with nothing going wrong. Last year we spent over $3,000 because we had our tests failed. And we had to do a bunch of repairs. It's not cheap to have those tanks in the ground. And right now we've got a pretty significant liability issue that we need to address, which is why that's on the agenda for this evening.
Absolutely.
Is it on the agenda?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's a resolution, last one, I believe. Resolution,
not the last one.
I know you.
I don't see it.
I asked for it
somewhere.
Well, I have no problem adding it.
Me neither.
If you guys are willing.
Yep.
We changed this a couple of times.
Yeah, it's not on there.
Okay.
We could put that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just authorization to.
I'm so frustrated about this.
Authorization for the supervisor to sign the storage tank environmental liability policy
in the amount of $1,711.84.
Okay.
And I'll dictate that. I'll dictate it to Dina. But so authorization.
Yep.
For the supervisor.
Yep.
To sign the storage tank environmental liability proposal.
Hold on. Sign the
storage tank.
Yep.
Environmental liability proposal. In the amount of $1,711.84. From Haley.
How much? $1,700 what?
$11.84.
Yep.
From Haley, Fryer, and Kuhn.
Yep. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, let me read it to you. Okay, a motion authorization for the supervisor to sign the storage tank environmental proposal in the amount of $1,711.84 from Haley, Fryer, and Kuhn.
Yes. Put liability. Storage tank environmental liability.
Storage tank environmental liability.
So... In the last 5 minutes, Jerry asked me to present something to you. Jerry would like to get some racking for the highway barn. We got equipment on the floor. We got two old racks that
we
are.
We can talk about that next time. We said we'd put it on the agenda next time.
Oh, okay. He was. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I
told him.
Okay.
Didn't need him. Oh, wait a minute.
No, I was going to say he told me to however you want to handle it, I'm good with it. You've got the information. If you want to wait, that's fine. I don't see this.
Yeah, he did. Oh, we talked about it.
I mean, that's...
Why don't you give him that? No, you're right. He did want that. Go ahead.
So he got two quotes. He got a quote from Granger for a pallet racking system that came in at $5,636.20. And he got a quote from... CNY equipment. These are used pallet racking system that meets his requirements in the amount of $1,675. This would be a building's expense. It was not budgeted, but there's some safety issues with a couple of the racks that they have over there that were homemade jobs the highway guys made at some point in time that are not OSHA compliant.
And again, that wasn't covered in the budget, but it's covered with that $30,000.
Okay.
So everything we talked about will definitely be covered in that. So it's not like we're making new expenses or anything else going outside the budget.
Thank you.
So
I made sure.
If the board, I know Jerry would like to move on this because they are, I don't know how many of the used units are around.
Whatever used, then used can
go
off the shelf.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't know what the demand for this stuff. It is in the amount of $1,675
to authorize
the purchase of pallet racking for the highway barn. In the amount of $1,675.
But the name of the company is off.
From CNY Rack and Surplus.
Any amount of what was it again?
$1,675.
Even?
Even.
Okay. Anyone have a problem with that? Do we need to table it? Do you want to move on it?
I don't have any problem with it. I'm
good. Okay. All right. That'll be item all of them.
Thank you.
Yeah.